Girl talk, welcome.
New fucking book, sister. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited. The things that have to happen sometimes in order for us to be like, oh, this all makes sense. And you're gonna find, even if you didn't before, very, very soon, like, this is why this all had to happen. I had to learn these lessons. And I remember the last lesson that I had to learn before I was able to meet Austin. Oh. And it was painful. So fucking painful. And it was to not self-abandon. It's like, I was in this relationship last year, last summer, and I was calling in the one. Like, mm-hmm. every single page of my journal was filled up with just scripts of exactly how he looks, how he makes me feel, what we do together, how he pushes me to be better, how safe I feel with him, like down to the minute details. And then I found this guy. Well, he found me. And we had this beautiful summer and we like fell in love with each other immediately. And the whole summer though, I was like, okay, how can I like plan our next date or plan our next trip? And I would literally not work in order mm-hmm. to do things for him. For us, right?
And to go spend time with them.
I would not make plans with my friends just so I could have it open for him. And he moved at the end of the summer, and he moved to Texas. And I knew it the whole time that he was moving. And I was like, fuck, like my lease is up. Am I going to move to Texas? Like my uncle lives there. I could stay for free. It'd be cheaper. I could be with this guy. Like, I think he's the one. All of this stuff. And then something hit me. It was just like, you are literally giving up on trying for yourself. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to try for this relationship. Like, and it just was like the last lesson that I needed to learn before I met Austin. Cause I do this with every relationship. I self-abandon so that I can do things for them. Cause I'm just like, I don't know why my mom has done it. My sister's done it. Like, it's just like in our family gene, I think, to care more about them than ourselves.
Yeah.
And then I ran into Austin like 3 days after that guy left.
Shut up. 3 days.
3 days. And I was like so depressed. And I was like crying. And I went to this coffee shop, Surf Lounge. Mm-hmm. And I saw Chris Sartino there. And I know Chris, right? And so I was like, hey, Chris. And he's like, well, what up? And then Austin was with him. He's like, hey, it's so good to meet you. Like, I kind of know you from the gym. My name is Austin. Like, how are you? I looked into his eyes and I started breaking down. I was like, I'm actually not okay. I started crying.
Oh my gosh.
You were real. I started crying. And he was just like, oh my God. Like, what can I do for you? Are you okay? Do you want to go on a walk? Do you want to talk about things? Like, I could definitely vent too. Like, he was just so supportive and he just didn't bat an eye. And I was like, yeah, I want to go on a walk. We went on a walk and we both just like dumped. Not like trauma, just like shit that just we've done.
You had the space for each other to do
that. We just held space.
Yeah.
And like he talked about things in past relationships that he's not proud of. I talked about how this one went and how just broken I was. This man told me he loved me and then he left. Mm. And it's like, my mom's been, you know, through three divorces. My dad left when I was 7, you know. It's like,
gosh, they sound familiar.
Oh my God, girl, right? It's like, you know, exes like cheating on me or like just disappearing with their emotional availability. It's just like that fear of abandonment came up hard. He like literally was like, Melody, you are so special. You are magic. Like, I love you. Mm. And then the week later, he leaves. So I was like, oh, do you? Is that what love is?
Yeah.
Because love isn't real.
Mm. Love is real.
It so is. It so is. It so is. Yeah, so just, I didn't know why that had to happen, but now I do. Mm-hmm. And everything is just like before that, right? It's like everything is going to make sense eventually.
Yeah, it's dating in today's world is already so weird.
It's so weird.
Welcome back to another episode of the M3 Podcast. It's me, your host, Mermaid Brie, and I have my friend Melody Kramer's in the house, girlfriend. Welcome.
Thank you.
Ooh, girl. Okay, we've been talking for like the last half an hour, just all things girl talk. And I love when I get to have a girl here in the studio and just actually share real emotions, real shit that we got going on. Like I've been talking to her about all of my travel stuff recently, emotional stuff that's been coming up with it too. We've been talking about falling in love, what love means, self-abandonment. So we're here to share all of this with you as it comes up. And originally, which I know we're going to definitely touch on, is I want to have Melody share her expertise with everyone on cycle syncing when it comes to fitness, being with the energy of your flow, meaning like your flow cycle. I know we have the luteal and the follicular phase, but I'm sure there's so much more that comes with it. And I feel like every week at a time, there's something that changes, not just in the luteal phase itself, but like there's probably micro phases within it. So I just want to talk all the things with you and welcome. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so excited.
Okay, so we met at OP, and I remember meeting you outside on the greens, like the grass area, and you were so energetic. This girl, I'm like, this girl's thriving. She's like upside down half the time. I was like, it's so just all in your element. And our friend Brandon, I've known him like half my life. Wow. You guys were outside, I think, like cold plunging or just like taking turns and all that, and probably making fun of each other in the cold plunge.
Absolutely,
yes. And I was like, this girl's so bubbly, so cool. I had to come up, and I'm like, actually, you immediately were like, hey, like super friendly, introduce yourself. I was like,
probably told her I loved you.
Yeah, I'm sure. My kind of people, for real. So I see you so in tune with your body physically, but then it's really cool getting to know you and seeing you, how you show up on social media, especially is you're very in tune with what's going on with your body as a result of your mind and your heart too, both. So you sit with the emotions, you sit with the logic, but you also feel the feels and think everything at that clear level that your body needs to have both the logic and emotion together. It's so cool.
I appreciate that so much. Yeah. It's a journey.
Yeah. I mean, being a girl is so hard. That's why we're here to talk about it. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. So what got you into cycle syncing and just being the cycle expert? I love this.
Oh my gosh, girlfriend. Well, first of all, thank you for all those words. And I feel the same way about you. It's like, you know, when you instantly connect with someone, it's like you touch them one time and then you're like, oh my God, my people, my soul. It's like, it's a mirror. And I truly believe that everybody that you interact with is a mirror of some other part of yourself. And I feel just like my openness and your openness really mash well together. So thank you, Brandon. cycle syncing. This didn't happen on purpose. So last year, I've had some. Okay, let me back up because this is a huge deal in my life right now, and it's beginning to just become so apparent that it's a huge deal in a lot of women's lives, especially in your later 20s. I don't know if it's like a Saturn return thing, but like when you turn 27, stuff changes and your physical body really does change. And it goes through this shift of potentially the habits that you formed that either built the muscle, built the physique, built the habits, built the meal plans that you've been doing for the last, you know, decade. Because I started training when I was like 16. And before that, I was a gymnast for 13 years. So it's like fitness has been my life. And those habits have been very masculine.
Yes.
And I'm sure you could relate to this too. It's like you have control over what you put in your body. You have control over your workouts. You have control over your fitness. And
you become obsessed sometimes.
And it can take over your life very, very quickly. And I think after leaving home in Connecticut in 2022 and driving across the country, looking for where I wanted to call home because I knew Connecticut wasn't it. I spent 6 months on the road just doing whatever I wanted, you know, eating whatever I wanted. And I prefer whole foods, period. But when you're traveling for 6 months, it's like you're in and out of restaurants. Yeah. Who knows, you know, what kind of pesticides or what kind of bacteria that you're experiencing there, like seed oils galore. and, you know, honestly, partying is one of the ways that I've always expressed myself. Like even as in high school, in college, like I would bring people together for the party, right? And I would throw these like bangers in high school. And it's just part of my social butterflyness. I don't know. I'm like a Libra. I'm ready to be the center of attention. Yes. Like, and so that really came out in 2022 after a very misaligned lifestyle I was living before back in Connecticut. You know, no one to blame but myself for not showing up authentically, but I was just like in a relationship that didn't bring me joy, in a place that didn't bring me joy, doing things that didn't bring me joy, and I felt like a shell of myself. And even my best friend, Julia, she told me at the beginning, when I got into this relationship, she's like, "You're pretending." I'm like, "What are you talking about? No, this is great, right?" And so I woke up one day, I was like, this sucks. And I shifted across the country for 6 months trying to figure out where I wanted to live. I stopped working and I've owned a fitness company for the last 4 years, completely shut everything down, told my clients I needed a break, didn't work for, you know, 6, 7, 8 months, and finally got to San Diego. And all the stress of not having a job, not having a home, not knowing where I'm going, not having any money just hit me all at once. Mm-hmm. And then I turned, you know, 27. And so, you know, I don't know who's aware of this, but in astrology, your Saturn return happens between like 27 and 29. And this is when the stars are aligned in the same exact position as when you were born. And so basically what comes up for a lot of women, or for a lot of people, sorry, is that when you get back into this space astrologically, a lot of the lessons that you haven't learned already start to really slap you in the face until you fully learn them, absorb them, and move on and evolve. And so these were lessons that came up for me of, I don't talk about my feelings. I don't feel my feelings. I just work out and I push my body really hard and I do quote unquote somatic release, AKA drop setting supersets and a killer leg workout, right? To distract myself from feeling. And I've done that my whole life since I was, you know, 4 years old in gymnastics. And so also, you know, too much caffeine, not enough sleep, drinking too much, not enough water, eating the same foods every single day because I knew I can control what I ate. Just like a bunch of unhealthy habits that I've developed, honestly, trying to just make my physique goals and fitness. Mm-hmm. And I think all of that plus the stress hit me all at once. And late 2023, I just became really inflamed. And my gut, I was training for a half marathon. And I remember, it's funny to think about this, I had no clue at the time about my cycle whatsoever. But come to think, I started after my period, 2 weeks of training. I was up to like 20 miles a week, from 0 to 20 miles a week. And then when late luteal hit, my gut was distended and bloated for like 14 days straight. So painful. My skin was puffy. I had no energy. I was like, I would drink water in the morning and get like a stomach ache. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, there's some crazy inflammation going on. I should probably handle this. Tried to take care of the inflammation by exercising less. Then started tracking my menstrual cycle because one of my good friends was like, you should probably, you know, look into hormones maybe. I don't know what's going on with you. Yeah. Started tracking my cycle to kind of figure out where my hormones were, because your menstrual cycle is a vital sign of your health as a woman, right? It's like you got your blood pressure, you got your heart rate, you got your menstrual cycle. And so I started tracking that. It was all out of whack. It would be like a 25-day cycle, then a 32-day cycle. And it's fine if you have a 32-day cycle and it's consistently that way, or a 25 and it's consistently that way. But when you are off by more than 2 days every single month, that's when you know that you have some type of hormonal imbalance going on. Mm. And so discovering that, and then just an extreme wave of fatigue hitting my body all at once. I would go to a yoga class and not be able to recover for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
I'd be sore from like squats, one set of squats. I would come up for my first set and like the muscle fatigue was just insane. And then I got ravenously hungry. So I was like, okay, my recovery is shit. My hunger is off the charts. Mm-hmm. My menstrual cycle is all over the place. And now I'm breaking out. So I'm like, okay, help. I thought I was healing. And it turns out, yeah, so that got me started into looking in about hormones and just deep diving into how can I fix all these things. And I started with my nervous system,
worked my way into my hormones. And then now I'm focusing on my gut. And then after that, I'm going to be focusing hopefully on the last layer, which is just cosmetic stuff, like all the hair loss that I've experienced, just the scars from the acne and things I've never had in my life. And that's how it started, is I had to fix myself.
And then somebody came up to you and asked you for help and said, Melody, what are you doing? How are you so chipper all the time?
No, I wish it was that easy to get clients sometimes.
Me too.
Nobody's really ready for change. They just know they need to do it.
That part. Change is hard. It's really hard. And especially when you develop all these habits that you think are so good for you. Mm. And then they don't serve you anymore. And now you have to create a whole new set of habits just so you can feel normal. So that's kind of where I was at. But I started to realize, okay, everything that I've experienced my whole life, like those weeks where I would just be ravenously hungry, no energy, just feel super lethargic, look more inflamed, that happens every month. That's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. And it used to be a surprise. And, you know, I would like be PMSing or super bloated and really hungry and then get my period and be like, oh, it's just my period. And I was like, oh, why don't I actually plan and prepare for this instead of just reacting to it? And so that's why cycle syncing made so much sense, because it's basically you understand where your cycle is at. You understand the fluctuations in the hormones and what that is going to do to your metabolism, to your mood. And if you have any nutrient deficiencies or dehydration or even hormonal imbalances, you can expect PMS symptoms. And so when you actually are looking at your body in, I am not a 24-hour type of person. I am not a weak type person. I am a 28-day cycle of feelings, of emotions, of, you know, my physical body's changing. It started to make so much sense why I was experiencing what I was experiencing, because I was doing things in certain phases of my cycle that my hormones didn't like.
I also am curious. So just to give you a little background story of my own cycle, I've done the same thing as you, where I've wanted to control everything that goes in my body outright. And I did bodybuilding competitions for many years. And one of the years I had a coach before the one I have now, and saying this like as if I would compete again, but I'm retired. But like the coach before my last coach, and that coach put me through extremes. Yeah. I mean, like really cut my calories, really upped the cardio.
Was he a man?
I was a lady, actually. And it's funny because I'm with a man now. Like, not to say again, I have a coach, but I'm like retired from my coach was. And I felt like that person understood what women go through more than the woman who was putting us through the intense. But I've had a lot of clients who've come from male coaches to come to me as a female coach. Hey, you understand the female body. You understand, you know, what cycles or anything needs. And it's because I've had to go through the hardships where I had 10 months of not having my period.
Oh,
and
my.
Like, to be honest, it was like a blessing for me because I also wasn't with anybody at that time. And I was just strictly on prep, very focused. So for me, it was like the opposite of not having a baby. It was like opposite of having a baby. It was like, I knew that whole time, like I wasn't pregnant, and I just kind of had the off, like no period for 9 months, 10 months. Right. And when it did come back, I was at a point where my body was fluctuating. I gained like 15, 20 pounds in a couple weeks. Yeah. And then it came back quick, and it was like not even post-show competition. I actually lose weight after a show. My body still is like trying to figure out how to get it. But then what will happen is once it gets comfortable, it comes on quick right after. Yeah. So I know that it doesn't stay and last that way for a while, but I feel like my body was inflamed or had other things, high stressors because of competition prep itself. For once the show comes off, the pressure comes off, it's like my body feels like it can relax and will lose some of that extra, you know, whatever pressure is. And then I will lose, once I lose the inflammation, it comes back to that. And so the cycle was something that was like hard to deal with without having a period and knowing what it was like. I've had healthy periods since where there was no PMS symptoms. And I was like, okay, I know that a healthy body, and when it goes through everything and you're actually treating it like a respectful vessel, then it can handle a cycle and it can still work out and have a good workout. Excited to get to, because people don't realize that they can track their cycles with their workouts and training programs and have it matched very similar, where you don't even feel like you're skipping a beat.
Exactly.
That's the, that I was like, okay, so it does exist, right? But the other thing that I have noticed is, like, for example, I was traveling with Gabby for the last 6 weeks. Our cycle synced up and mine showed up a week early. And I've had that where I've done competition preps with other girls before. And I'm like hanging out with them, doing cardio with them, training with them. Like, we're meal prepping, you know, we've lived together or other things. And when I've had these moments, I would have my period every 3 weeks. And it was almost very common. And I don't know if we can even like hop over to the subject of COVID or vaccines or anything. But I was wondering if like the vaccines or COVID have anything to do with that. Cause that was the year that that was going on where my friend got COVID, I got the vaccine. And in the same month, we ended up both were getting ours every 3 weeks. And it was annoying.
Were you hanging out with her all the time?
Yeah. But still, it was like every 3 weeks for 5 months, I think we had it.
That is wild. Did it regulate back to 4 weeks after?
Now it does, but then this
last... Did you stop hanging out when it regulated?
Yeah.
Okay, right? Girl. I'll tell you why that happened.
Okay. I'm like, but same thing with, like, my other friend now. Like, I just synced up with my other friend, had it for 3 weeks. And I'm, like, afraid to go back and meet with her because I'm like, it's going to happen again.
Oh, that's so wild. Well, so...
Tell me.
I know, right? And so when we were in tribes, right, there would be weeks on end where the men would be out hunting and the women would be all together. And so it would only make sense that they would ovulate when the men were back. And then we would all ovulate at once. So that was the higher chances of getting pregnant at once.
How did the universe figure this out?
And so just like everything has a vibration, everything has a frequency, right? It's like your hormones are changing so much. And I totally want to get into this too, because it's like when you have two completely different hormones, they are opposite, estrogen and progesterone. Your estrogen gets so high in the first half of your period, and your estrogen is like your energy hormone. So that's why you feel really, really good. Like after you stop bleeding and you stop cramping and all that stuff, maybe you're still spotting towards the end of your period, but estrogen is on the rise and you start to feel like Superwoman again, like you can take on the world. That is because of that hormone there. And then after ovulation, it switches. Estrogen plummets and progesterone rises. Mm-hmm. And so estrogen is energy. Progesterone is chill, rest. Please don't hurt yourself. Gain a little bit of weight. I'm going to make sure your body temperature skyrockets so that you're a little bit more hungrier. Your metabolism is burned a little bit hotter. And some studies have shown that in luteal phase, which is that second half where progesterone is higher, women will burn 50 to 500 more calories a day compared to in their follicular. And so if you feel like a completely different person in one half of your cycle versus the next, it's because these two hormones are complete opposite and are doing completely different things. And so, you know, if you are vibrating at that luteal, you know, energy, or you're vibrating at that estrogen energy, like you're going to feel very different, and women will sync up together because we always have.
I mean, my jaw is dropped right now. Everyone who's listening, I'm like, what?
Isn't that so cool? Like so I just want to preface this by, I think women are one of the most connected and powerful things, beings on this planet, because we have a womb. We have a center of creation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I used to beat myself up that I couldn't work as hard as, you know, my partner, my male partner. And I've literally only like dated entrepreneurs, right? That's my type.
Like, so I got to be on their level.
So I got to be
not higher.
Right, exactly. And I would beat myself up because I couldn't be as strict as them. I couldn't be as rigid as them. I couldn't get as much done in a day as them. And I thought it was just like myself, but I'm way more aligned. So I am more efficient when I do work than they ever will be, because when I do put in the work, it is so aligned because I have that deeper connection with the spirit. That is, I mean, one of my biased opinions, but.
So what would, if, cause I mean, we're both entrepreneurs. We love entrepreneurs. Like that is me. I like people who work for themselves, know how, who are go-getters, hustlers. I'm a huge fan of that. And for anybody out there that is like, I'm a boss babe, I'm a female entrepreneur, or I have that mindset, or I'm dating somebody with that, and I want to perform at that level of somebody who treat my body like a CEO, right? How can somebody go about their cycle, each part, each phase, and optimize what their week looks like? So can you explain all the 28 days as best as you can, and like what the day should look like, how it should be? So like, for example, day one is the first day of the period. How about that?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
It is. Right. So the first day you bleed is day one. That's menstruation phase.
Okay.
There's really two umbrella phases. It's just your follicular and then your luteal.
Okay.
Within your follicular phase, it starts with day one is menstruation. maybe you bleed for 3 to 7 days, right? And after that, you like stop bleeding the bulk of it, your estrogen starts to rise. This is that follicular energy. So I kind of like to clump the first few days of menstruation with the latter half because it kind of blends in with the week before your period, and then the first 3 days of kind of feel more similar than maybe day 3 or 4 of your period when you start to feel that energy rise. So I'm going to start on like day 4.
I agree because I'm like, right? I'm like, first, people always say like, oh, you should be able to start lifting heavy like the second day after your period. I'm like, no, it takes me like 3 or 4 yeah, days. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
For sure. And everybody's different, right? It really does vary human to human. But so I'm going to start on day 4 is when you start to feel like yourself again, when you start to feel like your superhero self again. Ah. Okay. And so this is where you have more energy, and this is the time to start new projects. Okay, so if you're an entrepreneur or you have, you know, whatever you're doing in life, this is a really great time to start new projects because you have the energy and you have all of that rest that you just put in kind of behind you. Mm-hmm. And so now you got energy. It's really time to start new projects. It's time to, if you have a goal, to start setting goals for exactly how you're going to accomplish that. And you have about 1 week up until you ovulate and you're in this fertile window. And side note, your fertile window is for 5 days, and that's only because you ovulate on one day, but sperm can live inside the uterus for up to 5 days. And so if you have unprotected sex on day 10 and you ovulate on day 15, you have a chance of getting pregnant. Whoa. So that was a crazy side note that I learned from just learning about the cycle. So and you're during your fertile window, you also get a bump of testosterone a little bit. And that is so that your body seeks out a partner, right? Like testosterone is a little bit hornier. They're a little bit more social. It's a little bit more motivated. And so during ovulation, you probably want to go out more. You want to be social more. Whoa. No, I have one of my best friends lives by her cycle. And she was like, I'm going out today. I'm ovulating.
So, if that's a reason or excuse to go out,
literally an excuse, yeah. Right? Exactly. And so this is when you're more social and you're more driven. And so the goals that you set in your follicular right after you started feeling like yourself again, now you're getting them and you're actually taking actions. Mm. Okay. So this is the action taking phase. This is when you have the motivation, you are on top of the world, your metabolism is low. So you're not thinking about food. You're pretty satisfied with your physical body and you look a little leaner. You look a little tighter. This is like the golden era. Your skin clears up even. Like ovulation is just a beautiful phase.
Picture perfect world right there.
Picture yeah. perfect world. We all would be ovulating all the time. And then after ovulation, maybe around like day 15, 16, 17, depending on your body, your estrogen starts to drop and your progesterone starts to rise. And so this is a really great time. The first week of luteal is after ovulation. So it goes menstrual, follicular, ovulation, luteal. Okay. So when you stop ovulating, you're getting into luteal. This is a really great time to clean up and tie up all the ties from the project that you started, you took action on, and now you're completing. Ooh. Okay. And so this is like cross the T's, dot the I's. You have a little bit of energy left over from ovulation. So like capitalize on that. And you just get to, you know, like settle into more of your brain and heart space instead of like your physical body. So I kind of think of follicular as like out and about and luteal as like in and within. Mm. Yeah.
So, I like that.
Right. It's a little bit easier to remember it that way. And then that second week of luteal, now this is day 21-ish. You're getting your period in a week. I call this late luteal. This late luteal phase wants you to chill out and rest. Okay. Your basal body temperature is like 1, 2, 3, maybe degrees hotter. So you're burning hotter. You're burning more calories at rest. So you're hungrier. Progesterone wants you to chill because progesterone rises in your luteal because it thinks you're pregnant. And so your body will keep that temperature up because cold womb, actually in Chinese medicine, is one of the markers of like uterine dysregulation and PCOS, endometrium. Like in Chinese medicine, it's called cold womb, and a healthy womb is warm. So in your late luteal, your progesterone is risen so that it can have like a healthy womb in a healthy environment to hopefully house this egg that was hopefully fertilized. But since the egg wasn't fertilized, you will eventually just, your follicle will disintegrate, your egg will disintegrate, and then your endometrium will disintegrate once it realizes that there's nothing in there to fertilize. And so during this late luteal, your progesterone's at an all-time high, and it's finally starting to come down. And this is when, if you do experience PMS, this is when this is going to happen. This is when inflammation might be a little bit higher, especially if progesterone's asking and begging you to rest and you're not. And so this is sometimes when, if you are expending too much energy, you're not drinking enough water. Mm-hmm. So everything is like amplified. Estrogen is really connected to like chemicals in the brain that make you happy and like energy, mm-hmm. happiness, like okay. vitality. That's your follicular. In luteal, it's, you're more emotional and you're not as happy. You don't have like the serotonin pieces. You don't have a lot of, you know, sometimes physical, mental energy because you just started this project, you acted towards it, you closed it out, and now it's time to just think about it. So your late luteal is like your meditation, your thinking, your inwardness, your solitude, and giving your body the rest that it is really, really craving. I feel like as women, I mean, I don't know about you, Brie, but I kind of sense it from you. It's like when, if it's not intentional, do you just want to just rest up until you become aware that shit, I'm a go-getter. I am constantly trying to compete with this man. I am constantly trying to like prove myself to the world and build my business. And I hold space for all of these people that I coach, and I'm constantly taking on and taking on and taking on, especially as a hyper-independent woman, an entrepreneur. You just take on and take on. And it's really hard to turn your brain off and tell yourself to rest. So a lot of us don't rest in that late luteal, especially in fitness, because we've been told, got to train till failure. That's the most effective way to train. You got to cycle your workout so that you can PR every 4 or 6 weeks. It's like, okay, well, that's a masculine way of training. A lot of the research done on training is done on men. And because your cycle is such a crazy varied variable, you try to control for that in research. And like, I get it by not including women, but now a lot of the most effective ways to train, they are, I mean, this is how to train the male body, right?
Yeah.
And so during that late luteal, it's really, really important for hormonal balance and also for just reducing the cortisol in your body and respecting your feminine nature to just rest and receive.
How can someone feel like they're in their luteal phase even when they're in their follicular phase? Like, I need to be chilling and staying back. And can we go in like short bursts of energy? Like, can we go out, maybe go for a walk instead of going for a run, still be outdoors, still go play with our friends? I want to have the social energy that I would when I'm ovulating, but PMSing. And even if I have to fake it, how can I do it that would make it so like maybe I go out for less hours, but I'm still going out. Maybe right. I have an earlier bedtime.
Right. Like, I'm glad you brought that up. The bedtime is huge. Yeah. And so you can't just, you know, think you're going to be able to support just progesterone without also supporting, okay, let's make sure you're not spiking cortisol all the time. Let's make sure your thyroid is in check. Let's make sure your estrogen is in check. All of these hormones are actually very closely interrelated. And so it's really, really rare to just pick one and be like, okay, I'm going to focus on this. It's like, it doesn't work like that. So if you want to feel, and if honestly, if you want to get rid of your PMS symptoms, a lot of that has to do with reducing your stress, with hydrating yourself and making sure that you have the electrolytes to support your nervous system. It also is like eating foods that support your thyroid, making sure you're not deficient in any nutrients like that too. And then also your circadian rhythm. If you can go to bed and wake up at the same time every day, you are going to feel so much better about your digestion, about when you get, you know, your energy levels throughout the day. You're going to feel better about, I don't know, like literally just being more alive in the day and then also sleeping better at night. Like that's what we can prime ourselves to do that. And our circadian rhythm is a muscle. Like we can build our rhythms up and we can tear them down very quickly. So I would say if you want to be a little bit more energetic and luteal, you can switch out the intensity of the things that you're doing and just reduce the intensity a little bit so you could do more. And so it's basically just like training volume. You can, you know, train more frequently, or you can train more reps, or you can train more sets. You get to pick. And so the same thing with your life. It's just the volume of life. Do you want it to be like super intense doing this one thing? Or do you want to just make sure that you can slowly kind of just like breeze through the day and float through the day at a steady rate without having these peaks and these falls?
I'm currently on my own training program, which means that I'm basically not really on a training program. Yep. I just did the same. I did the same shit, you know, and I go in. Yeah. It's very similar. So it's like, okay, today is right leg day number one. So I'll do like squats for example, as that. And then I'm like, okay, at least I know at some point I'm going to do some sort of heavy type of squat.
Yeah.
So when I'm training and I feel really good, I have the conversation within and just say like, how are we feeling today? How is, you know, what can we handle? What do we feel like doing? Yeah. What don't we feel like doing? Yes. Right. So having the conversations, figuring out what to do. And like immediately I can feel my body be like yes or no to like yep. a certain machine or equipment or yeah. So I will on a really good day go in and train really hard and push myself to a point that I know is not like killing me, but like accomplishable.
Oh, yeah. You're struggling.
Right.
I'm loving
yes.
it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
And then I go through what I call like the too hard set theory. And I've mm-hmm. learned this from my coach where he does it for us, where it's like, just do two hard sets or even like one hard set. If I'm really emotional on top of yes. being physically down, like yep. that's another one where it's like, if you feel like you can't even go to the gym, but you're telling yourself to go there, just do one hard set.
Yep. Yep.
And so I will go and I'll have like my warm up, something I know is accomplishable. And then I'll just finish out either the third one or like the, so like say, for example, it's like third would be like we do warm up set one, set two. So set two would be that one. And then set three would be like a back off set. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a day where it's two hard sets, the last two would be the two hard sets. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Mm-hmm. So I like warm up into it, get through that, go through the accessories, and then I'm done for the day and give myself the time, the grace, the rest in between. Mm-hmm. People don't rest enough, I think, between their sets too. So I feel like that's like a good way for me to implement my training. But mm-hmm. how would you explain somebody to train or optimize their training, their physical mm-hmm. goals with their cycle?
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that so much, Bree. And so it was your job to build muscle, right? For your sport.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was you backing off as doing two hard sets instead of five.
Yes. Right.
Okay. Yeah, and so right. that for you was backing off. But your job, I think it's really important to understand your goal here when you're training anything. And so your goal was build muscle, mm-hmm. right? And also optimize my ability to just train hard, right? And like your capacity to train mm-hmm. and your capacity to train tired, your capacity to train moody, your capacity to train, because that was your job for your sport.
Crying,
literally. All of it. Yeah.
Get your ass in the gym.
Literally sobbing while working out.
Maybe not been there that much.
I don't recommend it.
But right. That was the goal, is to be able to just show up and do that specific strength training workout. But for many other women, most other women, the goal isn't just to build so much muscle so that you can show it off and compete and have the most muscle out of all the yeah. girls on stage, right? That's not many people's goal. And so I think, A, it's important to know your goal. So if your mm-hmm. goal is to build muscle just because you want a better physique, you want to look a little bit leaner, you want to be more athletic, whatever, if your goal is to build size, then it also honestly makes sense to just do maybe two full body workouts that week. And call it quits. Yes. You don't have to do this bodybuilding split, right?
No,
you don't
have 5 days of like,
you don't have to show up 5 days in a week, right? But if you train your muscle groups twice a week, you're going to build mm-hmm. as long as you're eating properly, obviously recovering. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of the rule of thumb that I give my clients that have like 4 days a week program, 3 days a week program. I'm like, during your late luteal, show up twice. Just show up twice, get your set done. And honestly, it's a deload week anyway, because you're going to PR right after your cycle calms down and you start to feel that estrogen rise. And so when it comes to that late luteal / the first 3 days of menstruation, I say move so that, because it's good for cramps, right? Mm-hmm. Like move, stretch, yoga, walk, like move your body. And if you are on a 4 time a week where you are supposed to be working out, you have to show up for yourself 4 times a week, but only 2 are going to be strength training days. And then the other 2, you get to pick something, but you got to show up 4 times a week just to stay consistent with yourself and also to develop that self-integrity, which is like you telling yourself you're going to do something and then doing it.
Why do you think it's important to build self-integrity?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We are the only people on this planet that actually can do the actions to get the results. Like your mom can't do it. Your best friend can't do it. You know, your mentor can't do it. Like you have to put in the work to get the results that you want. And when you tell yourself you're going to do something and you don't do that, you stop trusting yourself to be able to get your goals. And that is depression. that is not trusting yourself to show up for yourself so that you can actually have what you want in life. Depression is not having what you want in life, and it's not having the energy to go and get it and not having the trust in your capability to go and get it. I don't want that. I don't want that for anybody. I definitely don't want that for my clients. And I've been in that space where I would set myself a goal and then I would be like, I need to do this in order to hit that goal. And then I wouldn't freaking do it. And then you stop trusting yourself. You lack integrity with yourself. And then you don't believe in yourself anymore. And that is a key to a downward spiral, is not believing in yourself. So if you want anything in life, if you want to be able to manifest something, if you want to reach a goal, you have to believe that you can, even if you fake it till you make it. How do you fake it till you make it? You show up and do the things you're supposed to do. Then eventually you start believing, oh, I can do these things. I can take one step at a time. That self-integrity is everything when it comes to building and when it comes to growth and when it comes to, honestly, happiness, is trusting in yourself to show up for yourself when you say you're going to.
I also, just to be like the hippy-dippy manifesting type of person, yes, but I feel like when we call something into our world and we ask for it, we start to believe in it more because we see it being possible. So it's like going back to the tangible exercising. Somebody sees results and they start to believe that they can achieve their goals because they're seeing results. So when the next time they want to do a fitness challenge or something happens, they feel like they can accomplish it, like training for a marathon or going, you know, doing a Spartan race. People feel like they can do these things when they've already done it before and they see what's possible. And I feel like the same goes with school, people graduating from college and, you know, they're getting degrees and they've done it because they've graduated from high school. The other part of it is when you are doing something you've never done before and you have enough trust, belief, you know, integrity to encompass it all for something that's scary, that is your first attempt doing, you know, that big scary project, whatever it is. And I feel like that is something so unique for somebody to have, to carry within them. Not everybody has that trait. And I'm curious how people can build that. And that is exactly what you just said, is knowing that you can show up for the small things day in and day out, to trust in yourself, to make it feel like that's a goal setting. And that to me is the masculine energy that we were talking about.
Yeah.
So people, it's been a big hype as of the last couple of years, people talking about, I'm in my masculine, I'm in my feminine. Yeah. And I want you to explain your interpretation of what masculine and feminine energy is, why it's important for us to carry both as an individual and in a partnership, and what it looks like when people show up in their masculine and feminine in a partnership. That's a lot of questions.
Yeah. We'll get into all of it. I do just want to add, though, is about showing up for yourself and creating that self-integrity and doing the things you say you're going to do and having that trust that you can do things. Mm-hmm. That's going to create courage. Courage creates that opportunity for you to step out of your comfort zone so that you can step into your higher self more. You can build bigger things. You can grow more as a human. You can go and talk to that person even. Mm-hmm. You can go start that business. It starts with literally telling yourself you're going to go to the gym and then freaking going. Right? It's as small as that. And so that is a very masculine trait, is to put in the work.
Yes.
Right? And so my interpretation of masculine for me is – putting in the work, is focus. It is also, you know, not listening to my ego or my lower self say, I'm tired, or I don't want to do this anymore, or do we really have to work this hard? My masculine self goes, yeah, girl, you freaking do, because no one else is going to do it for you, right? And so that is that masculine. It is going to make sure that you are doing the things you say you're going to do to accomplish the things you want to accomplish in a very action-oriented way. Mm-hmm. Okay. So masculine is very action-oriented for me. And then the feminine is very not action, but alignment. Mm. Okay. So those two A's maybe are like speaking to me right now.
I like it.
Right. But yeah, the feminine is aligned with what she feels good doing. And typically it feels, you know, when something feels good because it's bad for you, or if something feels good because you're actually meant to be doing it. And so that's the feminine for me, is she feels good because she's supposed to be doing it. And so this is alignment. And this is when you start to just see things that are, that they like remind you of something. If you're like driving down the road and you just see a sign that's like, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that, was thinking about that like 3 seconds ago. And yes. then I saw it right in front of me. Or when, you know, you're wanting something and then your friend calls you and tells you, hey, do you want to do this? Like, yes. Okay. Or when you're thinking about your mom or your sister and they call you too. Or when you, something happens to your body, like you are a hormonal mess, you're full of inflammation, but you've been begging the universe for clarity on what you want to do and how you want to serve. And she tells you through, you know, an experience. And like, that's what happened to me. That alignment is like, I had to go through these things in order to finally have clarity on what I want to do and how I can serve in a more authentic way. Mm-hmm. And so the feminine is here to receive the messages of the universe and to also receive from the masculine. You know, it's like, there's a reason why men should ask you on the date. Men should pick you up, right? Chivalry is the beautiful balance of masculine and feminine. And for us go-getter, independent, entrepreneurial women, sometimes it's really hard to receive because we are so confident that we can do it for ourselves and we can probably do it better than you ever could.
Right. And I hear that in my partnerships. Like, I'll always hear from my significant other, like, why can't you just accept the help? I'm offering to rub your back or carry your bags for you or open the door. Like, why can't you just accept the help?
Really important. It's so important because we don't get to be as feminine when we are, you know, building a business, when we are holding space for our clients and telling them what to do. Like, yes, that feminine empathy. And like, I know you lead from love and you come off as such like this empathizing feminine, but you are, your job is to hold them accountable. Like, your job is to make sure that they take action, right? And that holding accountable is, it is also, you know, like a healed feminine trait, but it's also like very masculine, like, I gotta make sure they do this thing, right? It's a rigid maybe concept, is holding people accountable. And being able to receive in your romantic relationship or even in a friendship with a man is going to allow you to let down those walls of, you don't have to do it all. Bree, you know, Mel, you don't have to do it all. And you shouldn't want to do it all either, because help makes things happen so much quicker. So it also makes things so much easier. And then if we're talking about hormonal balance, one of the killers of hormonal balance is cortisol and stress.
Yeah.
Right? And so if it's like you're trying to balance all these things out, but you're not asking for help or you're not accepting help, why would your menstrual cycle, your like mark of the feminine, respect that? It's
our bodies even telling us to ask for the help. Our bodies
telling us to relax and ask for help and receive. Yeah. Did that answer right there?
Yes. My next question within that was, how would partners show up in their masculine and feminine, and how does it benefit both? So like you were just saying, like, guys should go and ask a girl out on the date. There should be chivalry. How can a girl also show up for a man in a relationship?
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that I've kind of found is men really like to be useful. They love
to be useful. Yes,
they love to be needed.
Yes.
You know, it just like strokes these primal fibers that they need to take care of you, even though we know damn well they don't need to. Like, we can definitely do it ourselves. But it feels good to be taken care of, right? And so when you allow a man to take care of you, he feels more in his masculine and he feels more like a caretaker. But if you are not letting him take care of you because you're too busy taking care of yourself, or mothering him and trying to take care of him for himself, that is going to turn his masculine dominance into more of a feminine flow of receiving. And having that imbalance creates a lot of resentment. And so I've seen this in, you know, past relationships of myself, past relationships that my mom has had. And
I'm pointing fingers at myself.
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's like when you start taking on that masculine role of, I'm the caretaker, I'm going to make sure you're safe and you're set and you have all these things, and you don't receive the same reciprocation because you already did it for yourself first, that creates this imbalance of you resenting them for not doing enough for you, even though you never asked for anything.
We created that boundary.
We create that monster of the man being useless. And this is shown in like TV shows, right? It's like all these like Family Guy or like, right? The man is useless.
I never thought about that.
And that's how the American dad has been portrayed for quite some time in cartoons and in shows with like family dynamics. Right. It's like the mother takes care of it all and the dad is like brainless. It's like, when did we become this way? And I think the wounded feminine has a lot to do with that. So I know this feminine movement is just gone way too far, honestly, with we need to do all the, why do you want to do all those things? I don't want to do those things. Like, I don't want to open my own door for myself. I don't want to make myself dinner. Like, I don't want to buy my own flowers. I don't want to. I want my man to do that.
Miley Cyrus, we want to buy our,
she can buy her own flowers. Yeah. Me, I ain't doing that, okay? So I fully welcome, open the door for receiving gifts. And then we talk about love languages, right? It's like knowing your love languages. Mine is all of them. Okay, give me gifts, acts of service, you know, quality time, physical touch, all of these things. No one can give something to you if you're not open to receiving it. And so that's why being in your feminine is so, so important, to open to receive the help and the communication and the different love languages and the acts of service and even those small little things of if you're like doing something and he goes to reach for it to help you, just freaking drop it and let him do it and move on to the next thing. Like if you're dating a man that is, you know, has a good brain, has a head on his shoulders, yeah, is super successful, he could fix whatever you're trying to fix, right? And then you don't have to worry about it. So it's like, A, look for men with competence so that you can trust them to do the things that you want to do just as well as you can. And it's also a release of control. Control is a very masculine trait. And I feel like a lot of us women, we are control freaks and we've been labeled as such for whatever reason. And I think that has kind of helped me. It's like, I don't have to be in control when I'm with my partner, because A, I don't want to. I could finally like rest and relax and know that I'm safe. I think it's, you know, kind of an environment right now where we are on our toes as women. Like, we don't know if we're safe all the time. Like, if I am walking somewhere, if I am driving somewhere, even just like the stress of the day, the stress of the environment, all these like ancestral traumas of being taken advantage of or being, you know, sexually abused or like all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to constantly have that worry. And if you are like safe with a safe masculine in his power, you release those things, because that's when the family unit was safe, is when a feminine woman and a masculine man created this harmony together. But if you are trying to be masculine and your man will eventually just like float into his feminine, or you're going to fight a lot.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.